Amen. So welcome everyone to church this morning. And thank God for the series that we've been looking at. We've been looking at a series called Having a Vision for Your Life. Amen. And we've been enjoying the series, right? Yes. And thank God for in this house, we don't just pick a topic because it sounds like very trendy. No, it's by the Spirit of God. And so we're going to continue with this series this morning. So let's just say a word of prayer. Yes, we've been worshiping and praying, but prayer is never enough. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for you have a word for us this morning, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that every heart that is here, oh God, that you open up every heart to receive your word. Holy Spirit, explain your word to every individual. Let it meet them at their point of need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're still continuing to look at vision. And Pastor Benson has taken us through, I think, two or three parts already. And he used Adam and Eve last week. And at the beginning of the series, he also looked at Abraham and Lot, how they lived their lives. And I'm going to continue with those two examples, Abraham and Lot, and also Peter. So when we look at vision, I've got a couple of points that I'll take us through this morning. Hopefully, I will have enough time. So I've got 5 points here. So you can take the points down if you'd like. And the first one is, when we're looking at having a vision for our lives, the first thing is, when you have a vision for your life, it's a godly thing and it's a paramount. You know, when we say, oh, you need to have a vision, it's not just a buzzword. It's a godly thing to have a vision. And then the second point is, God's vision for your life is the best vision. God's vision for your life is the best vision. And the third point is, godly vision has a process. Godly vision has a process. And then the two more points. Number four, when we're looking at vision, vision requires faith. And vision and faith goes hand in hand. Vision requires faith. That's the main point there. And then the fifth one is, with vision, there needs to be an action. Amen. So we'll be going through those points one by one. So just going back to the first point that as Christians, it's important that we have a vision. It's a godly thing. You cannot just live your life. There's this song that says, oh, as it says, whatever will be, will be. Have you heard that song before? No. As Christians, it's not whatever will be, will be. As God, we have to have a godly, we need to have a vision, and that is godly. Because even the God that we serve, everything that came out of him came out of vision. I was listening to like a professor this week, and they were doing a debate about does God exist? And one of the things he said, maybe some of you who studied, I don't know, theology, or maybe you studied RE and all those things, that if you look at God's design, for example, if you look at a tree, you look at an apple, everything that you look at, you can tell that it was designed. What about human beings, how complex we are? If you look at everything, there's a design. I mean, if you're a woman, and you've ever had a baby, you don't just get pregnant and then you have a baby at 1 month. Trust me. There's like a process. And if you think about it, it's so amazing when you have a scan. For those of you, you know, when you had a baby, they do scan and everything. And then you do a scan a couple of months. You think, how did the bone come out of blood? So when you look at everything, what I'm saying is when you just look at everything around, when it's nighttime, the sun goes down. When it's sunset, the sun comes up. Who informed nature to do these things? You can tell everything is by design. So the God that we serve is a God of vision. He said, when you read from Genesis, he made certain things come on certain days. So if God, the Almighty God, is a planner, God wants us to also to have a life of vision. And I think when we look at vision, what's the first thing that comes to you when you look at vision? Okay, well, yesterday I was thinking of vision. My husband wears glasses. And honestly, without his glasses, let me not curse him in Jesus' name, but without his glasses, let me tell you something. He can't really function. So when, for those of us who wear glasses, when your glasses is blurry or is steamy, can you see? Can you see the way forward? Not really. So it's like, as Christians, you need a vision, because vision is what makes you see clear. It's what makes you have clarity. And when we look at vision, one of the things that we learned from the first series is that this vision that we're talking about is a godly vision and involves acknowledging God in all our ways. Amen? Amen. So the first point is, it is godly to have a vision. If you're just saying, oh, well, you know, whatever will be, that's not how God wants us to live our life. And sometimes we're going to read a story that Pastor referenced, just some verses about Lot. You know, many times when we read the Bible and we look at what Lot did, we could say, ah, Lot likes enjoyment. You know what enjoyment means? It means you like the good things of life. He saw the plain Canaan and he chose that. But you would choose that, wouldn't you? We would choose that. But when we are choosing and making decisions for our life, it's important to involve God. So I'd like us to go to that scripture again. Genesis chapter 13, verse 11. Genesis chapter 13, verse 11. And I cut off some verses, but just the background is Abraham and Lot. Lot was Abraham's nephew, and they had been living together, all their servants, all their herds were together. And it got to a point that they were so successful, they were so prosperous, that living together was becoming too difficult. So this is where Abraham advised Lot to go his own way. And let's see what Lot says. So Genesis chapter 13, actually I'll read from verse 10. And Lot looked out and saw that the whole plain of Jordan, all the way to Zoar, was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose the whole plain of the Jordan for himself and set out towards the east, and Abraham and Lot parted company. One of the key verses there, I think in verse 11, it says, Lot chose the whole plain of Jordan for himself. Many times we make decisions for ourselves, don't we? And the thing is, sometimes you make decisions with your intellect, you make decisions with your logic, and it might take you a certain point in life, but the decision that is best is one that's informed by God. You know, when I was thinking about this story yesterday, I remembered a story that Pastor Benson gave us. What are we trying to look at? We're trying to look at when you are setting a vision for your life, it's so important to hear from God. I'm just paraphrasing this story because he told us like many years ago. So I think Pastor Benson he was going for some jobs, and there were a couple of jobs, and he, you know, he always wanted to work like in the city, you know, in the city of London. You know how everyone is kitted, suited in their boots and everything. That was his vision. And I think there was a job that he really, really wanted to go for. I don't know whether it was banking or investment or what have you. And I think that job looked very juicy. You know what I mean by juicy? I'm not talking about fruits juicy. But you know when something's like, huh, if I have this job, I'm made, man, you know? And that job looked so juicy and everything. And I think he really prepared and everything. And he went through so many hurdles to get that job. And you know those wonderful Well, I don't know how he got the message, but I'm sure it's the same process. You know those wonderful emails that they write? I'm sorry, but on this occasion, you have not been selected. They try and write it so nice, isn't it? As if that would make you feel better. And he didn't get the job. And that kind of, you know, everything looked good, right? It ticks all the boxes. Probably it was a dream job. Maybe the salary was good and everything. And it's like, but God, I don't understand. This job is meant for me. And I think a couple of, I don't know whether it was months or weeks later, he heard that company went bust. So let me tell you something. Things may look good on the eyes. You can make decisions with your intellect. You can make decisions with your logic. But the best decision is the decision led by the Holy Spirit. You see, in that situation, Satan would have whispered to him, can you see? You know, you didn't even get that interview. Are you sure that you're caught up for a city job? Are you sure that you're caught up? But in the end, God knew that company was going to fold up. And Lot, everything looked so good in Sodom and Canaan, but he didn't know that in that land was full of wickedness and evil, and God would eventually destroy it. And if we read that, I don't want to go into that, but you see what it cost Lot? His wife turned to a pillar of salt, his children. So one of the things Pastor said is, you see, the decision that you make, and I'm so glad that there's youth here. Honestly, I wish I could rewind. Anyway, I'm still a youth. So you guess how old I am, but anyway, I'm still a youth. So let's talk to the adults here. The decisions that you make, I tell you, they can catch up with you in the future. So that's why it's so important to be led by God. And I'm so glad that we the youth are in the house. It says, remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth. So the days that won't come where you say, I had no pleasure in them. I'm just paraphrasing that. You see, one of the greatest gifts that your parents have given you, I have to always include myself, has given us, is the gift of Jesus. The fact that you're in the building, they bring you to church and everything, that is the greatest gift. Filter your decisions through the word of God. That is the greatest decision, I'm telling you. Amen? I just digress there. So what are we saying? To have a vision for your life as a Christian is godly. That is how God wants us to live. And one of the things as well that I thought about is, do you know that depending on what you are, maybe you're single, maybe you're married, maybe you're a youth, you know, like me, you can make a vision for every single thing. You can make a vision for your child. You can make a vision for your marriage. Everything in your life, you can ask God, what is this? What is the plan for my child? What is the plan for my career? What is the plan for my marriage? And I wrote here as well, you know, with vision, this is the next point we're going to take. A lot of times, we are guilty of making decisions not through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We're going to move on to the second point. The second point says, God's vision for your life is the best choice. You know, some of us are saying, but I don't know what my vision is. Well, it's very easy as a Christian, because all you need to do is just listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit every step of the way. With any decision you want to make, career, marriage, every decision that you want to make, you just need to lean on the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes one of the mistakes that we make in life, and we already alluded to it in the first point, is that you choose someone else's vision. You make someone else's vision yours. So how can we do this? So I try not to use social media as an example all the time, but it's in our face, isn't it? You know, one of the worst things that you can do is to plan your life based on social media. I tell you, One of the worst things you can do is to plan your life based on social media or some of the things that you do there. I remember there was this reality show with this couple, and they looked so perfect and everything. They looked like the perfect couple, the perfect career, the perfect house. Do you know when that show finished, they interviewed that couple, and you know what they said? Everything on that show was a lie. We were just acting to make money. So the vision for your life is not on social media, it's not on. God's vision is the one that we have. And it's very easy, like I said, you're just hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example. I'm not perfect, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit. One of the things I used to say, and don't worry, my husband is okay with this. I used to say, I can never marry, oh God, a typical African man, no. I said, no. My husband, I used to have a dream as a young girl that I would marry, you know, like a black American, or marry someone that speaks well, Queen's English or something like that. And God is so good. God is so good. And this is what I'm telling you. You see, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is not like where Adam and Eve, when Eve ate the apple and God is saying, where are you? It's so subtle. Comes to you. You know, the Holy Spirit can direct people to kind of guide you. I remember in this season of my life, like I said, I don't want to marry any African typical African guy or with any accent or stuff like that. And I remember in this season, there was a wedding in Scotland. And honestly, I did not even want to go to any wedding in Scotland. And for some reason, my mom, my brother, everybody, it's just like God gave their purpose in that season was that you got to make this girl go to Scotland. And everybody was on my case, just to cut the story short. And when I got to the wedding in Scotland, obviously, the groom was there and there was a best man. Who was the best man? Lo and behold, Deacon Charles. And he was in like a Scottish outfit and kilt and all of that. And he was, you know, when I saw him, what I caught him doing was not really encouraging, not in a bad way. He was part of the, bridal train. So he was the best man. And like all the bridesmaids, they were all like giving him his handbag and everything. So I was like, okay, is he dating one of these girls? What's up with this guy? Ugh, you know? And then when I was in the wedding, they were dancing. Then I just saw one guy like that called, his name is Deacon Charles now, trying to dance next to me. I was just like, he missed his way. Why is he coming to dance next to me? And then in that party, everybody was just like, oh, did you see that guy? He looks good. I was just like, and then he made a speech, a best man speech. And the end of that best man speech, he now said, and by the way, I'm single. Then everyone looked at me. And then what happened? There was some funny behaviors there that was just like, then in the party, he was like calling his parents abroad and things like that. And then when he saw I was giving him no like signal or whatever, as I was going out, he now stood by the door. And if I have to confess before the Almighty God, when I was in the wedding, when I looked, something just came to me. I said, and he looks like he'll be a good husband. And I was just like, where's that thought coming from? Where's that thought coming from? And then he stood at the door like a security guard and he said, oh, can I have your number? And I was just like, let me just give the number. The worst is if he calls, I won't pick up, you know. And then I think my brother came back the next morning. I said, oh, where are you coming from? He said, oh, you know that guy took me out to show me around Scotland. And I thought, God, definitely that was not your voice. Anyone, did they go clubbing? Never, it's not my husband. And lo and behold, he then gave me a call and then we started talking. And then I saw that, this guy is actually a cool guy, you know? And then what confirmed it was, I went, we're talking about God's vision for you is the best vision. And then I used to be in the CFT headquarters in London. And I went to the man of God and I said, "Sir, I want to make an important vision in decision. And I kind of need your help." My expectation was that he would say, "Sister Remy, I can see, you know?" But you know what he told me? He said, "Go and pray. God will speak to you." And I was like, "That's your job. That's why I came to you." And you know, I just went. I was just, you know, someone in the choir, everything. Just a young girl trying to figure out my life and everything. And I went and I prayed. And I remember in that dream, I saw, like, it was kind of like a revelation where Apostle has like an armor bearer that goes with him. And in that dream, that guy came to me and said, "Sister Remy, Sister Remy, Apostle's calling you, Apostle's calling you. He wants to talk to you about that question." And Apostle was like happy to say that Deacon Charles was good. And you know, that same dream I had when I went to choir practice, that dream, it was like it repeated itself. His armor bearer came to me, choir practice, and said, "Apostle's calling you." And I went to Apostle. I was going to say, "Apostle, I had it." And he said, "God has confirmed." I can tell you, God's vision is the best decision for your life. And, you know, being married to him, he's allowed me to do the things of God. It's just being with, like, good friends and everything. Don't look at him. He looks so serious. He's a real joker at home. And if I had married some of the other strange guys that were coming my way, I don't think. Because the thing is, he's the one that got a job in Cardiff that made us move to Wales, that made us come to Bristol. Can you see how God sets everything up? So what are we saying? God's vision for your life is the best vision. And, you know, I didn't pray to God for 10 days or 40 days and things like that. All those things are good. But all you need to do is just acknowledge God in all your ways. In every decision you want to make, God, what can I do? And he will show you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And still looking at vision, God's vision for your life. You know, what we delved into there is leaning on the Holy Spirit when we're making decisions as individuals. The third point I want to talk to us about is very dear to my heart. Because, you know, sometimes the devil can lie to you. Like when I was waiting on God, it felt like forever. Even some people thought there was something wrong with me. I didn't have time for guys or anything. And the same thing could be with you. You know, when you are looking at the vision for your life, it seems like there's a long delay, right? But one thing that we need to understand here in this point is God's vision has a process. God's vision has a process. So the issue is with human beings, we equate things not happening immediately as failure. That's a lie. Can we look at Abraham? How long did he wait for the promised child? Can we look at even Jesus, our Lord, our God? He went through a process. What I'm trying to say is process is godly. I remember that, what's it called? Someone said a joke. Like, for example, if you are, this doesn't happen in our church. If you're a pastor in a church, right? And by the way, our pastor doesn't know what he has no access to the offering, by the way. He doesn't know what happens. I'm just using this as an example. Let's say you're a pastor and you were discipling a young member in your church. This young member has just come out of A-levels, probably going into university. He's still trying to find his career in life. And then next Sunday, he drops an offering of £1 million. Not 1 million naira, £1 million. I'm going to say, oh, the Lord has done it finally. No, there's something wrong with that finally. Let me tell you, that might seem like success, but that's very dodgy. How do you go from not even knowing your left and right hand one Sunday to the next Sunday, you're dropping 1 million in the offering? There, for God's vision, there is always a process. And that process may be painful. That process may not make sense. But let me tell you, everyone that is successful, there's a process. So when the enemy is lying to you and saying, oh, you know that you've been applying for this job for so long. It's been 2 years now. Guy, forget it. You're not going to, just forget it. Just manage that what you're doing. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because there's a process. There is a process. I mean, I can tell you what I've been through, what different people have been through. There is a process for vision. You know, like we even talked about earlier on, everything that God makes, there's a process. A child to come to the earth, 9 months. Who here, God has sent loads of babies from heaven here, and they're welcome, by the way. We thank God for all the babies that have come from heaven. But if one of them wanted to drive a car, would you sit in that car? They've come straight from heaven, so they're anointed. What are you talking about? We don't need driving license. Would you sit in that car? No, you know why? There's a process. So in your vision for your life, there's a process. And that process is not failure. You know, in some processes, it's building character. In that process, it's building experiences. There's a process. Don't let the enemy lie to you when things are delayed, because a godly vision involves process. And for us World Cup fans, you know, I watched the World Cup, honestly, I really enjoyed it. But you know, one thing came to me. I don't know if we know this guy, there's a guy called Lionel Messi, and unfortunately, his team did not win the World Cup. And so many people were like dragging him on social media and everything, because they try and make some competitions between football players and everything. And there was this young guy who's coming up, and he was in the team that won. But you know what? For Messi to get where he was, there was a process. And with success comes a process. So in every situation you're going through, see your process as just part of the vision. I don't want to go into so many examples of different stories. This is really on my heart, because I want to encourage somebody this morning who feels stuck. You're not stuck. You're just going through a process. You are not stuck. If God is involved, you can never be stuck. You're just going through a process. And there's a scripture I'd like us to read. I didn't put the verse here, but we all know it. It says, it's in Hosea. It says, my people, they perish because of lack of knowledge. When you're going through process, let me tell you something. Process is actually wonderful, because in process, you learn. In process, it builds your character. So many things process has taught me. And a lot of times, as a Christian, we've talked about, yes, we need to know that I cannot just live my life thinking God will work it out. No, I need to have a plan informed by the Holy Spirit. I need to listen and make choices by the Holy Spirit. And I need to understand that just because it hasn't happened yesterday doesn't mean God is not involved. Every plan, every vision involves a process. Then point four, number four. Thank you so much, Elder. That's Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Then point four, vision requires faith. Vision requires faith. And I'd like us to read Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 5. Here we're talking about Abraham. It says, then the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham stayed there? No. So Abraham departed as the Lord had directed him. I'll stop there. For every vision, there is an action. Faith is required. And I just want to do something a little bit different, but we'll still continue this point of the sermon. For every one of us here this morning, whether you do this when you get back home or you do it now, at this point in time, I want you to jot down, what are the different visions that God has given me that I have not acted on? Because vision requires faith. It's like you're saying, God, give me a job in America and you don't even have a passport. Are we joking? That's a joke. Vision requires action. Abram, you know what a lot of us would have done if we received that instruction from God? And I'm very guilty of it. Let me just wait till a year's time. Let me wait till I have a bit more money, God. You know, this trip is going to require a lot of resources. Let me wait till this. But the Bible says Abraham departed immediately. Jot down every action that you're sitting on, that you've not taken an action on, because vision requires faith. And I wrote a scripture here to encourage us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Often at times, obviously, the fear of the unknown holds us back. The fear of what if. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for the Spirit, I think that's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Is that correct? For the Spirit of God does not make us timid. I think some version says fearful. The Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline or sound mind. Let me tell you, you have that. You have the Spirit of God in you. That Spirit of God gives you power. If you want to go back to university, the Spirit of God will give you power. You might be the eldest in the class. I think Abraham was in his 70s when he departed. You might be the eldest in the class. You want to go back to university. God will make your brain sharp, sharper than the youngest person in that class. The Spirit of God will give you power, love, and a sound mind. It will give you discipline. It will give you a sound mind. It will take away anxiety. What I'm just trying to say, every vision that you have sat on, that scripture is there for you. All you need, God's power, you have it already. God's Spirit, you have it already. And it will give you a sound mind. Because a lot of times we just sit on a vision. There's a part that God plays and there's a part for you to play. And there's another story that I read yesterday, and it was like I've never read that story before. It's in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, please. I think I have it here in my Bible, but if I can have it on the board, John chapter 21. We're talking about vision requires faith. So just paraphrasing, let me try and go to my Bible. This is a story about when Jesus appears to the disciples again. And he appeared to Peter. Yes, I think I have it here. Okay, so John chapter 21. It says, after these things, Jesus showed up himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out immediately and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw in because of the multitude of fish. You know, one of the other things as well is, apart from us sitting on our vision and not taking action, like Peter there, Peter was actually working. The Bible says he went out to sea. He was working all night. Some of us, we have been working, but we're missing that specific direction. Maybe Peter was casting his net on the left, and God said, "Cast your net on the right." And immediately, what they were taking years, I'm just paraphrasing, in your life, maybe you're taking years or things to do. That simple direction. And it says, the net was so heavy. They caught the fish that maybe, I don't know, in 1 month they had not caught. That's what happens when Jesus walks with you. He gives you ease in everything that you do. I can say so many testimonies of things that I've done, not by my power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Amen. So I hope we have that list in our head, or you've put that action down. Every vision that you've sat dormant on, that you've not taken action on, I believe God is encouraging us to take action. And like Peter, he will direct you. He will tell you what direction to go into. Amen. And I think I've actually gone into my last point that says there is an action that proceeds from vision. I think I've already wrapped it up in there. Amen. And just to encourage you, you know, Pastor always says that scripture is that God has a plan for us. But the truth is, God has a plan and he has a vision. But this morning, he wants you to invite him in and listen to him. And I hope we are encouraged this morning. That list that you're going to write when you get home or you've written, don't sit on it. Launch out. Like Abraham, take the step. I don't know what it is you're sitting on. I'm talking to myself as well because I've not got it all together. But you have the God, the Holy Spirit inside of you that knows everything. All you need to do is tune in with him. And he will help us for the vision of our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'd like us to rise up as we really pray this morning.